as we do declare that no works of the enemy shall prosper today. Well, brethren, to bring us the message, AI and End Time Prophecy, Apostle Arthur Bailey.
Saints, welcome to all of you here, those of you who are joining us online. I hope we are online, and as we go forth in the message today, I encourage those of you who are with us to invite others, because we're going to be talking about a subject matter that I've put off as long as I could until I just couldn't take no more. There's a lot of things that are going on out there in ministry, and people who I hope will tune into this teaching, so they would stop the shenanigans, this foolishness. And unfortunately, some of it is being presented in such a passionate manner to where it seems convincing. I heard one minister who was ministering, and he made a statement, and this is a well-known up-and-coming minister. I won't mention his name, but you know, he's talking about the mark of the beast. He's talking about the idol that will be set up in the holy place, and then he makes a statement that this has to be AI, and then he asked the audience, the people that he was teaching, it has to be AI, right? I mean, it's like you're teaching these people, you're supposed to be presenting information, and now you're trying to get them to agree with you. And once they agree with you, guess what? That then begins to be perpetuated through conversations that they have with other people, and ministers who are watching that are also now taking that and running with it, like they have done so many things, so many times in the past. And so what I'm going to do here today is I'm going to give you information, and I'm going to give you Bible. And I'm not going to mix the two, because that's one of the things that you have to be very mindful of, is mixture. And once you begin to mix the word of Jehovah with information that is not in the word of Jehovah, you may find yourself watering down his word. Inadvertently, people begin to add to his word things that are not there. They start reading into the Bible things that are not there. And then people start reading the Bible and seeing things that are not there, and then start celebrating things that are not in the Bible as if it was in the Bible, while rejecting what is in the Bible. And this is one of the things that which is what really pushed me to do discipleship training, is that when people are discipled properly, they're able to look at the word in a non-biased manner and really pull out what's really there, lest they start twisting things. And this has happened to where many of us, even growing up in those kinds of environments, have been misinformed, misled, mistaught, mistrained, and end up practicing things that are just not in the word. So we're going to be talking about AI and end time prophecy. Now, interestingly enough, the title itself is kind of like connecting the two, but as we go through it, you'll see the distinction. As always, at the end of the teaching, you're going to be given an opportunity to give, to ask questions, and to receive prayer. And I'm going to try to be as thorough as I can, which I've already got questions that I've had to deal with myself, answering those questions and presenting the answers to those questions, which may minimize the questions that you have. Our mission statement is restoring the Hebrew roots to the Christian and Jewish faiths. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Now, those of you who declare these blessings, declare them like you mean them. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father, again, we are so privileged, one, to be alive and in your presence, and then to be in the company of brethren. We pray that your presence manifest itself in the midst of us and in the places and spaces where people are gathered together to watch this teaching. We ask that you give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us the capacity and ability to comprehend the things that you reveal to us, and then show us how to incorporate them in our daily lives. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, create in us clean hearts, renew the right spirit in us, and let nothing come between us, Father, that your truth may reach the destination of our heart and then manifest itself in real time. We bless you, we honor you, we give you work, we give you praise, and Father, we just exalt your name in the earth today. May you be exalted amongst us in Yeshua's name. Amen. And so as some of you may know, artificial intelligence, and I purposely use the actual word, because when you say artificial intelligence versus AI, you kind of hear it a little different. See, because artificial intelligence is intelligence that is artificial. AI doesn't give us the impression that what we're about to receive or what is going on is actually artificial. And I'll say this up front, and you'll hear me say this a few times in the teaching, that AI is a computer-generated platform that can only give you what it is given. Remember that. Artificial intelligence has rapidly become and is increasingly becoming a central component and research platform in sermon preparations and presentations for prominent mainstream church leaders and some messianic ministers. AI is here to stay. However, what role does AI play, and where does AI fit when it comes to the Word of God? And these are questions that I have really searched out and questions that I asked myself. Is AI in biblical prophecy pertaining to end time events? The man of lawlessness, for example, or the mark of the beast? And that's a question, depending on who you ask, will determine the answer that you get. Is AI associated with, or is AI the Antichrist or anti-Messiah, as some is teaching, as some ministers are teaching? Should ministers, ministries, and church leaders use AI in their sermon preparation or as a research platform to present the Word of God? And this, and a most important message that I feel is the entire body of Messiah should hear, because if you haven't been exposed to AI, and many of us have been exposed and didn't even know it, because this is something that has been around for a while, but now is becoming more prevalent and more intrusive into people's lives. I've heard a very disturbing trend, which is what caused me to prepare this teaching, among so-called Bible teachers, or so-called Bible teachers that should be Bible teachers, or so-called Bible teachers, not repeated, trying to insert AI in the Bible as though the prophets prophesied about AI. They preach very convincing messages that personally I think are just off base. And so I start off with, is AI in the Bible? And just a little bit of humor that the only AI in the Bible, and I thought Sean was going to take that and run with it, is a city that is spelled AI in Canaan, first mentioned in Joshua chapter 7. Now, interestingly enough, some people will twist that, because they'll say AI is in the Bible, and it's actually there 36 times in Joshua and the Kings and in other places like Jeremiah. The first thing I wanted to address is what AI is not. First, AI is not human intelligence. It is artificial intelligence. And I say that because AI is a computer platform. It doesn't have intelligence. It's not a brain. It doesn't have a brain. And the only information it can give you is information it has been given. And if you can imagine, and there are some real issues that are going on right now with what people are concerned with supercomputers, to where they're building these massive factories that is eating up electricity and power for the hundreds of millions of people that are going on the internet and going into these various AI platforms to get information out. Now imagine this. Every human being on the planet that have access to any form of social media, website, or any type of internet capability is able to put information into a website, into a computer model, and then that information is generated or propagated throughout all of the internet computers around the world. So imagine all of the information that you used to get from the Encyclopedia Britannica uploaded to the internet. Imagine every sermon that is preached by the 40-some thousand denominations that is uploaded on YouTube. And if you notice how when you go on YouTube and TikTok, where even now if you're watching me there, my words is showing up on the screen. That this computer is able to take my words and dictate it to the screen in real time. Now, these words, and if I go on the YouTube after service, I can actually download the script from this teaching, although I haven't put a script of this teaching up. And so these bots are just pulling information and then generating text. And this text now is accessible to anybody in the world at any time. So when you ask AI or any of those platforms a question, these bots search the entire network of computer generated material and then feed that information to you in some kind of format, to where now you receive, and if you don't fact check this stuff, What you got is a bunch of information in a format that looks as if it's usable. Now, several years ago, college students was writing reports and essays, but they weren't writing reports and essays. They were simply searching the internet, putting information in order for that information to now be generated into a platform or into a essay or even a dissertation, only to be found to be plagiarized. AI is not human intelligence. It is artificial intelligence. Now, here recently, and I don't know if you know this, but ChatGPT was actually sued because a young man thought he was talking to a real person, which is what AI does. You can have conversations with AI and go back and forth on these particular platforms, and this young man ended up committing suicide. There are other, I remember earlier this year, I got an email from a petrified young woman who felt that the information that she was asking this AI model and what it was presenting to her was actually the devil talking to her through AI. And this was a warning that she was trying to communicate with me. What AI is. Now, to understand AI, we need to address it as two words, not as an acronym, and it's not an acronym to begin with, but it would appear to be. First, artificial. Now, artificial means something made by humans. It's not found in nature, often imitating a natural form like artificial flowers or limbs. It also describes something that is fake, simulated, insincere, or lacking in natural spontaneity, such as an artificial smile or laugh. Synonyms include man-made, synthetic, fake, counterfeit, while natural is its opposite. So what it's saying is that artificial is the opposite of natural. In other words, artificial is not real. So we have to always remember that AI is artificial intelligence. The moment you lose that, the moment you become a victim of this AI world. Intelligence is the broad capacity for learning, understanding, reasoning, problem solving, and adapting to new situations involving cognitive functions like memory, attention, and logic, measured through various theories like general intelligence, G factor, or multiple intelligence. And this from Wikipedia, it shows this in the blue is Gardner, which is a guy who actually began to talk about the various forms of intelligence and applicable to humans, to animals, and even abstract systems. But it also refers to gathered information, especially concerning threats, as in national security. AI, as I said, is an abbreviation for artificial intelligence. More specifically, AI is technically an initialism because the letters are pronounced individually, AI, as opposed to an acronym. And so what we deal with here is that AI boils down to be a set of technologies that empower computers to learn, reason, and perform a variety of advanced tasks in ways that used to require human intelligence. Now, just to say this, AI cannot replace humans. AI can replace work humans do, but it cannot replace humans because AI is not human. AI is computer. Now, what you may not know is that your brain is more powerful than any AI model out there. One of the challenges that we have is that we limit our learning capacity. We put limitations on our ability to learn. There are people out there who speak multiple languages fluently because they learn multiple languages fluently. The capacity of the human brain is designed by the Most High, and we have the ability to have the most extensive memory possible. But our problem, for the most part, for me, is that we put a lot of entertainment in our head. We have the capacity to remember hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs word for word. And we memorize the things we put our minds to memorize, and the things we don't put our minds to remember, we don't. Father tells us what to remember. And we decide what we're going to remember. AI and end time prophecy. Now, what I want to do here is I want to present a process, because what I'm looking at is, how did we get to this place? How did you and I end up here, and how did the world become in the condition and in the state that it is in reference to AI? Messianic end time prophecy can be traced all the way back to the time of Mr. and Mrs. Adam's judgment in the garden in Genesis chapter 4, when Jehovah said, he said, "And I will put enmity," Genesis 3:15, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, this statement we find playing itself out in Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Whereas there is a word to where the woman's offspring, that the enemy was pursuing the offspring of the woman, in reference to what is being said here in Genesis chapter 3. The messianic prophecy is fortified in the Torah. By the way, when I was a young person in church, in Sunday school, they taught me that this was the first messianic Bible, first messianic prophecy in the Bible. They didn't say it was the first Christian prophecy. It was the first messianic prophecy, and this was in an American Baptist church that I grew up in. This is fortified when Moses speak about God raising up a prophet from amongst the brethren. In Deuteronomy 18:18, he says, "And I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." So in the Torah, what we see is that Father is revealing to Moses. He's revealing to Moses that there is coming a day when I'm going to send you a prophet that is going to speak for me. Now, this has been interpreted over the years by various prophets, but what he's specifically speaking about, this prophet, is the Messiah who is to come. Now, understand, when the man and the woman disobeyed the Almighty in the garden, it set up a scenario that now has to play out to the coming of the Messiah. Because there is going to be a confrontation between the serpent's seed and the seed of the woman. There's a confrontation. And over the course of Genesis, the Torah, the prophets, the writings, this plays out until Messiah actually shows up on the scene and on the cross when he said, "It is finished." What was finished is that the work that the devil had done in causing man to be in a fallen state has been restored and now have the capacity to be reconciled to the Most High. That's what was finished. He undid the work that the devil did. He didn't fulfill Torah. He fulfilled prophecies that was prophesied about him, but he undid the work that the devil had done, because up until that point, man did not have the capacity to be reconnected to the Almighty other than through a set of instructions, following those instructions and obeying those instructions. And through that was allowing themselves to be led by the Word of God, which we would then be given the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God, which would be based on the Word of God. The Spirit of God is not leading people contrary to the Word of God. Amen. The Messianic prophecy is spoken of in the writings and in the prophets. Now, Daniel starts speaking some things because of a vision, because of a dream. Father gives him the interpretation of these dreams. He shared the dreams. He shared the vision. He shared the interpretation. And by the time we get to chapter 9, Daniel zeroed in on the messianic prediction. When he began to speak about the visions and dreams that he had, and specifically uses the English term Messiah as the translation of the Hebrew Mashiach. You see, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Mashiach is Messiahs. The English translation of the Hebrew Messiah, Mashiach, is Messiah, not Christ. Remember, if you look in your Old Testament, in the prophet Daniel, Daniel has been translated from Hebrew to English. Messiah is the translation of Mashiach. It's the English translation. Daniel 9:25. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, the thing about Daniel prophecy and many of the prophets is that they did not get to see much of what they prophesied about concerning end times. Now, understand that all these predictions were about a Messiah who would come. All of Israel looked to this coming of the Redeemer, the Savior, the Anointed One, which is what Mashiach means, which is the English Messiah. And so what the Catholics did is they took the definition of Mashiach, the Anointed One, and inserted the word Christos, which is now the English translation of a Greek translation that is the English translation from the Hebrew Mashiach. So they took Messiah and turned Messiah into Christ. So now people got the English Christ in the New Testament and the English Messiah in the Old Testament, and they're confused because preachers have confused them. Our confusion doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. God is not the author of confusion. Our confusion comes because of things that we have allowed people to just deposit into our spirit. Now, I need you to understand something, because this is critical. This is absolutely critical. All of the prophets prophesied about, well, let me rephrase it. All the prophets who prophesied about the Messiah understood there would be one who would come. The fulfillment of these prophetic predictions from Genesis all the way to Malachi is to look for him that is to come. The prophets understood that he would come. Everybody is looking for him to come, and none of them wrote anything to their understanding of any second coming. Now you got to get that. So when Yeshua experienced the woman at the well, she says, I know Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. Nobody understood anything about a second coming. There was only one coming. Now, you got to get that, brothers and sisters. It wasn't until Messiah actually came and started explaining some things personally to his disciples that, and they didn't get it. They really didn't get it. Yeshua calls his fresh eyes to be focused on Daniel's prophecies when he said, now he started in the Galilee. His last journey up to Jerusalem, he began to communicate to his disciples what was going to happen to him. He said that he's going to be taken up. The Gentiles and the Jews, Jewish leaders, are going to cahoot together. And he's going to be crucified. But on the third day, he's going to rise. Now, there's nothing about a crucifixion. And here's what the Hebrews understood from Daniel. They knew there was a resurrection, because Daniel 12 talks about the resurrection. So the Pharisees could embrace a resurrection mindset, whereas the Sadducees didn't get into this resurrection, because the Sadducees strictly focused on the responsibilities of the priest in the Torah. The Torah didn't talk per se about a resurrection. Daniel talks about the resurrection of the righteous and those who will resurrect to eternal damnation. So he talks about this idea of a resurrection, and then Yeshua begins to expound on the fact that the Mashiach that everybody is looking for, that he came, which the Hebrews had a real issue with, and some to this day. Because what they understood is that this Messiah who was going to come was going to be from David's line, and he's going to establish a kingdom in the earth. He will now sit on the throne of David, where? In Israel, and that the king that was Herod, who was not a line or in the genealogy of David. He was from Idumea. He was an Edomite. He was from the line of who? Esau, not from the line of Jacob, Israel. And so he had influenced the Romans to establish him as a king, knowing he wasn't the righteous king. So when the Magi came looking for the king, what was his position? Kill anybody that has the potential. And I don't know who he is, so we're going to kill all the young men from the time they saw the star in the east till now. And that was 2 years. So he's going to wipe out whatever is the potential king, knowing that he is not a righteous king and that he's not from the line of David, which is the prediction and prophecy in the prophets, including David. Now understand something. The difference between you, us, those who believe in New Testament writings have to understand that those in Judaism reject this stuff. So their writings go up to Malachi, where they are still expecting God, one, to return to his temple. Why? Because when Solomon died and the temple was destroyed, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, disappeared. When the temple of Zerubbabel was built, there was a stone in the holy place because the Ark of the Covenant wasn't carried into Babylon like the Torah and all of the other temple furnishings that was taken and put in the Babylonian treasury. Malachi prophesies the priest is corrupt. God hasn't returned to his temple. Where are you? And so they are expecting this Mashiach. They're all looking for him. And this is why when he does come and Philip comes to him, he goes and finds his brother and he's saying, the Mashiach is here. Yeshua does something. And this creates a little bit, well, it doesn't create a little bit, it creates a huge problem. In Matthew 24, he says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso read it, let him understand. Then let him which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. So what is he saying here? What he's saying is there are some things that Daniel said that is yet to come. It's yet to come. Now, it puts fresh eyes on the prophet Daniel, indicating that what Yeshua is saying to his disciples, not to the Israelites as a whole, but to this small inner circle of believers, what he's saying to them is, listen, I'm going to let you in on something. I am him, it's been revealed to you by Father, but I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back. And here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to be crucified, but after 3 days and three nights, I'm going to resurrect. Now, here's how I know the disciples didn't get it. Because when he was crucified, they went back to their old life. That's what they did. In fact, on the road to Emmaus, when Yeshua went and began to commune with them, they said, we thought he was. They thought he was. But now he dead. And to add insult to injury, some of these women have come to us and told us that he has been risen. So even when they came and told him, and when they went to Peter and Peter ran to the tomb and saw the tomb empty, there was some concern which shows itself up in another gospel narrative. The followers of Yeshua believed he was the Messiah to come, but his crucifixion left them thinking his ministry was over until he actually resurrected and showed himself to them. Now, once they seen him, the first time they saw him, and Thomas wasn't there, and he showed up a week later on the first day of the week, and individuals began to interpret because he showed up on the first day of the week, which could have been in the evening, that changed the Sabbath to Sunday. It's like that's a huge stretch, but it didn't stop him from doing it. Many in Judaism rejected his messiahship and dispelled a second coming and denied the first coming. The rumors. Matthew 28:11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. So these guards are standing at the tomb. Angels show up, move the stone. They fell as dead men. When they came to themselves, the tomb was empty. They went to report what had happened. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, chapter 28, verse 12, they gave large sums of money unto the soldiers. And this is what they told them to say. Say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. That's the message. Now, this message circulated all over the land of Israel. And they said, if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until the time of this writing, which was in 55 in that area, AD. So now you have people who knew and experience this Hebrew Messiah, know that he was crucified, and now some are saying he resurrected, but our leader saying that's a lie. There has been no resurrection of this Messiah. His disciples stole the body, and that's what they want you all to believe, but it ain't true. Fake news. Yeshua makes a statement in the company of his disciples that establishes a saying concerning John the Revelator living unto his return. This is what he said in John chapter 21. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Yeshua loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Yeshua, Lord, and what shall this man do? He asked him a question. Well, what about him? Yeshua said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? In other words, mind your business. Follow me. Then went this saying. Now notice, then went this saying. Because he said what he said, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die. Yet Yeshua said not to him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? So you see what they heard and what he said was totally different. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things. Now, who leaned on his breast? John. Who's writing this? John. Who writes Revelation? John. So he's saying, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So John now is trying to dispel the rumor that they started that still circulates. So you got two rumors going around. One among the Israelites that there was no resurrection, his body was stolen. And this is why Paul has to address the issue of the resurrection, because the word is there was no resurrection. His body was stolen. And Paul is saying, well, there is a resurrection, because if there's no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. And when you start putting all these things together and putting all these pieces together, you begin to see why he's saying certain things, because there are information, fake news, fake information, misinformation that is circulating that needs to be corrected. Yeshua's followers are looking for a second coming, while many in Judaism are looking for the Messiah to come for the first time. This is one of the reasons why many Jews do not accept Yeshua, because it is communicated from generation to generation. These people who call themselves Messianics, these people who call themselves Christians, they are saying some things that is just not true. According to our leaders, according to our rulers, there is no Messiah. There is no Messiah that has come. The Messiah is still to come. So they're looking for the first coming, while many are looking for the second coming. You see the issue here. And so in the first century up until now, this has been the conflict of information between the Jews and the Gentiles who call themselves Christians, who were former Messianics, but who've gotten off path because the Catholics have taken them down a road that is completely opposite of the road and path they should be on. The apostles wrote about Yeshua's return. Paul, specifically, after he got this revelation, because after all, Paul was one of these people who believed that these people were blaspheming. That's why he was killing Christians, or they weren't Christians. He was killing Messianics. That's why he was going from city to city, because these people are claiming that God had a son. The Messiah has come, and now this person is dead, and they're still trying to propagate a false narrative about our faith. And we have to put a stop to that. So now he's trying to eradicate all of the followers of Messiah because they're perpetuating a non-truth that is proven. And now he's saying, listen, so nobody could convince Paul. Nobody could tell Paul, listen, you're persecuting the wrong people. Messiah had to come and deal with Paul himself through a miraculous event that Paul could not deny because he went through it. This is what had to happen. So now Paul is writing and following the one he once persecuted, until the one he once persecuted said, Paul, you're persecuting the wrong people. Now, that which you tried to stop, I'm going to use you to advance. Isn't that just like the Almighty? He'll turn his enemies into his mouthpiece. We've seen him do it. You know, he had to convince Pharaoh. It's like, you know, he's toying with Pharaoh. It's like, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Pharaoh, don't let him go. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Pharaoh, don't let him go. Now, this seems contradictory, don't it? But we know he hardened Pharaoh's heart, right? And we know Pharaoh ain't the only ungodly man, king, powerful individual that the Almighty dealt with along those lines. So now he's got Paul writing some stuff. Now understand, Paul is after the fact. So when Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians about this man of lawlessness and the things that has to happen before the Messiah comes, and John writes extensively about the Messiah's return and the millennial kingdom, we now know that there are some things that, according to prophecy of things to come, that we should be looking out for. And this is where the prognosticators, the false prophets and false teachers have taken and ran off with it and have said some things that have messed a lot of us up. From the first century until now, prophetic prognosticators have prematurely predicted falsely the return of the prophesied high priest and king, Yeshua the Messiah, and have attributed the mark of the beast to then and now current news headlines. Now, how the mark of the beast have changed over the years. And I only went back to the 1900s. This stuff started way back in the first century. The stuff that I'm about to show you now is more modern. But if you were to Google, if you were to search out end of the world scenarios that have been predicted since Messiah, and this is not something, because anybody who believes that there was actually a flood will not have a hard time believing that the Almighty can wipe everything out and start over. Now, individuals, they've taken this mark of the beast. Now, notice that when it comes down to the mark of the beast, Daniel talks about beasts and he talks about marks. John puts it out there. So now there's this mark of the beast is connected to all of these mythological creatures that have been spoken about in Daniel, these individuals that Daniel is trying to explain. This is what I saw, giving illustrations, giving images, trying to put images together, and all of these prophets, Ezekiel and others, and then John comes along and he starts having visions and dreams about these creatures, and then we associate these creatures to certain kingdoms, to certain nations, based on identifying marks of these creatures. And then it ultimately comes down to the mark of the beast, which is the number of a man, which is 666, which has been interpreted and translated in a variety of ways by a variety of people who have now written books, generated sermons that have gone viral, spread across the land ever since the first century to now, repeated. That's how we got here. So I'm going to pick up from the 1900s. Up at the top, you'll see time periods, teaching or theory, who promoted it, reason it was considered the mark, and then a biblical evaluation. So between the 1900s and the 1930s, the theory was that the papacy, the Roman Catholic system was the mark of the beast, and that the Catholic Church was the harlot church. Protestant Reformed theology carried into 20th century and then early Seventh-day Adventists. Now understand that when the Protestants broke away from the Catholics, they had to demonize them because they had to justify their separation. Anytime you separate from anything or anybody, you now develop your reasoning for doing it. If you separate from a job, if you quit, or if you got fired, or whatever the case may be, you give your version. They give theirs. If you separate from a woman, separate from a man, get a divorce, you give your version. They give theirs. And this is why it's important, before you draw a conclusion on any matter, you have to search and hear both sides of the story. And then people say, well, there's his side, there's her side, and then there's the truth. In essence, you really don't know. And then you gravitate to the one that you may have relationship with, and that becomes an emotional bond and connection. And next thing you know, that when you are connected to someone who has disconnected from someone, the feelings that they have about that someone that they've disconnected transfers onto you. Now you start having an issue with somebody who ain't done nothing to you, but did something to your friend. This is how emotional connections and feelings and all that stuff goes. So, the reason it was considered Sunday worship, church, authority replacing God's law, authority and worship issue, it wasn't considered a real mark. But those who were part of the Catholic Church, everybody in the Protestant Church believed they were going to hell. 1933 to 1945, teaching or theory, Nazi identification numbers and tattoos. Now, many of us have been affected and influenced by the tattoo and believe that it's not of God to get a tattoo when getting marked or tattooed was specifically connected and associated with the dead. Somehow honoring the dead by marking one's body. Now, that doesn't justify any other tattoo, but to be biblical, we understand that Father didn't forbid tattooing or marking. He forbid it, idolatry, which was associated to one marking their body for the dead. Who promoted it? World War II era prophecy teachers. Reason it was considered, forced numbering, loss of identity, state control, biblical evaluation, illustrative only, not Revelation 13. Now, Revelation 13 is where it really gets into this mark of the beast and onward. 1950 to 1965. Some of you all may remember this. When the Social Security number came out, the mark of the beast. Who promoted it? Fundamentalist preachers. Reason it was considered the mark. Government issued numbers tied to commerce. You won't be able to buy a sale without that number. Biblical evaluation. No worship, no mark, no prophecy fulfillment. And the whole issue of the biblical evaluation is this. That the mark of the beast is a voluntary taking of something that will be part of worshiping something. And the one that would be worshiped is the beast, whatever that is. 1965 to 1975, teaching a theory when the computers came online. Global data systems. Big Brother is watching us. Who promoted it? Early prophecy conferences. Technology was something that was totally misunderstood. Reason it was considered the mark? Fear of global tracking and control. Biblical evaluation infrastructure is now in people's homes. The government has got it. And now they got satellites going up everywhere. And Big Brother is watching all of our movement. And he is. And then in the 1970s, barcodes. 1980s, credit cards. And this had everybody up in uproar. Y2K. Then there's the RFID chips. They're going to insert chips in your arm and insert chips in your head. In the 2020s digital IDs. And then to lay it out. Who promoted it? See, when you look at who's promoting these things, what you'll see is they're in prophecy conferences, evangelical prophetic teachers. Reason it was considered the mark, alleged, hidden. 666, scanned to buy commerce. You don't know. See, and what they're telling you ain't true. See, now the conspiracies. And all of this is promoting fear. And people operating in fear. Biblical evaluation, numerology era, later abandoned. 1978 to 1995, credit cards and cashless society. They don't want you using money. They don't want you to use money. Why? Because they're tracking you. They're tracking you, and you will not be able to buy and sell without this. See, all connected to the mark. Who promoted it? TV evangelists, prophecy books. Now, you know what our problem is? I'll tell you what our problem before I go any further. We got short-term memory. But it's not unusual. Think about this. The people at the mountain were scared. God is talking to them. And one of the first things he says, you shall have no other gods. You shall not make for yourself graven images. Moses goes up in the mountain. He ain't up there 40 days. And what these jokers doing? You see how short-term memory is? See, we remember the stuff we want to remember. We remember some of the stuff that people did to us. But we don't remember the stuff we done did or done. See, a lot of the stuff that's coming at us is a response to the stuff we dished out. God ain't mocked. You can't sow and not reap. So this cashless society, buying and selling without cash, biblical evaluation, economic control alone is insufficient. People can't control you because until there is no cash, you ain't cashless. Now they're starting with the pennies. Now when you think about it, how many of y'all carry pennies anyway? Maybe in that big old purse at the very bottom of your purse, you might have some pennies. But, you know, I remember the day when the men used to walk around and rattle their pockets. Let you know they got some change in there. People don't do that no more. They got change drawers. Come home, dump the change in there, and go about your business. And some of us, you know, this, I'm going to tell you, this is why a lot of these supermarkets say, listen, these people don't want the change. Do you want to, what do they call it? Round up. Round it up. And you don't care about giving them pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters because you don't want them in your pocket no way. Guess what? I want mine. Y'all already charging me too much. And now round up to what? Give me mine. And I'll round it all up at the end of the year. You know what I'm saying? I do my own round up. But we've been so desensitized. '88, teaching or theory, end time panic culture, rapture focus. Now people are talking about a rapture. Who promoted it? Popular prophecy authors. Reason it was considered heightened fear, made systems seem prophetic. Now, if you remember, during the time of Torah, there was only one person or group of people that people were afraid of, and they were the prophets. So Father had to tell them, he says, listen, if there's a prophet among you, I will speak to him face to face. Now, if somebody say that I said and it don't come to pass, don't fear that prophet. So when a prophet starts prophesying, people automatically open themselves to them. This is why people can tell you, thus saith the Lord, it not come to pass, and then tell you another, thus saith the Lord, and you still believe him. You got one time to prophesy to me. Because if you said God said, and he didn't say, your hearing is off. So why should I listen to you? And that's what Father said, don't listen to him. '99, there's that Y2K. Who drove it? Media driven and prophecy preaching. They said the computer system is going to collapse. Everybody done put now by this time, the whole world is relying on the computer systems. And they're saying it's going to collapse. Now all of our information. So now they got to get all this stuff on microfiche. You got data centers all around the world to where they're trying to get this information so they don't lose. Reason it was considered, computer collapse, global reset, technical issues. 1997, 2015, RFID microchips. Who promoted it? Prophecy teachers and documentaries. Reason it was considered the mark, implanted ID. It's implanted. Every human has to have one now. Biblical evaluation still lacks worship. See, the mark of the beast is associated with worshiping something other than God. That's really what it boils down to. 2001 to 2015, biometrics, fingerprint, and retina scan. Now they can ID you with cameras anywhere in the country. And they're all over, everywhere. Who promoted it? Security and prophecy overlap. Reason it was considered the mark, physical body identification. Biblical evaluation is a form of ID. 2010, 2019, smartphones, digital wallets. See, you got people today still don't trust these phones. You see people today, if they got a camera on their computer, you'll see one of these numbers over their camera. There are people who believe that the smart TVs, that the government is able to listen to your conversations in your house. And I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying all this stuff has caused people to behave strangely because of technology. But where is it coming from? Because the whole purpose behind it is to create some kind of fear. And typically it's the fear of government and maybe fear of aliens. Because there's this 50 Area 51. There's these. You know, somebody said, how come every time there's an alien, the only one who see it is some country bumpkin out in the woods? People in the city don't see him. He's just out in the country. They interact with folks who are out there with the cows. Anyway, who promoted it? Online prophecy teachers. Reason it was considered the mark, cashless buying. It's another form. Now we've gone from the cash, from the credit card to the phone. Tap it. Biblical evaluation tools, not allegiance. 2020, vaccines, COVID. Now, some of y'all remember that, you know, it's like, no, we're not getting a shot. We ain't getting a shot. Right around 2019. That's why they call it COVID-19. Because it happened in 2019. And by 2020, they had a vaccine for everybody that they say is safe. You hear what I'm saying? And what did people say? There it is. That's it for real this time. And then you got to get vaccine passports. You can't travel. Can't leave the country. Got to have a vaccine passport. You got to have a government letter. You got to show that you've been vaccinated. And didn't stop us from traveling. Who promoted it? Social media, prophetic voices. Reason it was considered, mandates and QR codes. No scriptural basis whatsoever. 2022 to the present. Digital ID. And then there's the central bank deposits. People, if y'all read about the central banks. And then there's AI. See, this around 2022 actually is when it began, but now it has gotten some serious traction. Who promoted it? Modern prophecy analysis, analysts. Reason it was considered the mark, total economic and identity control. Surveillance, the whole nine yards. Potential evaluation, potential infrastructure, not the mark. Now, this central bank digital currency, that CBDC, unlike decentralized cryptocurrencies, and this is what pushed that whole cryptocurrency market, because they don't want Big Brother knowing, you know, what they're doing with their money. So cryptocurrency is unregulated. And one of the first to begin to push this whole digital currency idea was under the previous administration. And now the current administration has ran with that. Crypto or central bank digital currency. Central bank digital currency. And they're establishing that right now. CBDCs are fully controlled by a central authority, such as the Federal Reserve in the U.S. or the European Central Bank. And that's the thing that they want people. You know, they're saying that cryptocurrency is unregulated and people are losing billions and billions and billions of dollars. And then there's this one convenience store that has a chain that they're putting these cryptocurrency machines where you can now buy cryptocurrency like an ATM machine, and it's ripping people off. And they can't do nothing about it. So, modern theories, barcodes, RFID, microchips, cashless society, biblical reality, and verses, vaccines, health passes, AI and surveillance, Sunday worship as authority, that's the SDA, accidental mark, fear of technology. Many of our elders are fearful of technology. And some of our young people are fearful of technology. I still have a hard time putting my credit card information associated with my phone, not because I have a fear of it is that, you know, if somebody gets my phone, they got my money. I mean, you can have my phone. I can get a new one. But have my phone and access to my accounts, too? No, I just can't see that happening. And folks snatching phones and stealing phones and taking phones? Mm-mm. Not yet. But I think I'll eventually get over it. I don't know. I just ain't got there yet. So now I want to take a little trip down memory lane of date setting, claims, and false prophetic words given by prominent leaders that did not come to pass. And all of this is connected to because we got here to a place, and I'll tell you, if you don't get your connection with the Almighty, you are susceptible to being misled. From 1914 to 1925, the Watchtower Movement, they set some dates. End of the world, kingdom established. 1982, Pat Robertson, global nuclear war. 1988, Edgar C. Wisenant, rapture. 1994, Harold Camping, rapture prediction. 1999 to 2000, Y2K prophecy teacher, system collapse, ushers in the end times. This is the language that is associated with all of these things. 2007, Benny Hinn, rapture by 2007. 2011, Harold Kempen came around again. End of the world. You know, people who remembered his predictions was off, followed his predictions when he came back with a new prediction. 2020, modern political prophets, specific political outcomes. Folks like Hal Lindsey, the late great Planet Earth, 1970. His claim, generation alive in 1948 would see the end. 1980s is likely end time climax. Outcome, failed. Jack Van Impe, now he's not, no longer with us, but some of y'all might remember the Jack Van Impe show and his wife Rosella or, yeah. Claims, identify specific world leaders as anti-Messiah, antichrist. Repeated end-time countdowns tied to geopolitical events. Outcome, none fulfilled. Prophets of the New Apostolic Reformation. These figures often use, thus saith the Lord, which is biblically serious. Some of you all may remember Chuck Pierce. Numerous prophetic timelines involving political events. Many failed or reinterpreted. Cindy Jacobs, national judgments and revival timelines. Many did not occur. Rick Joyner, prophetic visions tied to dates and movements, often revised after failure. Various prophetic voices between 2016 and 2020, claims included guaranteed election outcomes, national judgments by fixed dates, political leaders as Cyrus figures tied to Revelation. Outcomes, many predictions failed outright. And you know, a person predicts something today and the whole, you know, if people buy into it, everybody get worked up. It don't come to pass. People calm down to the next prediction. And with AI, they're coming more and more rapid. Remember in September, a South African preacher's YouTube video went viral predicting Jesus would come for his church on September 23rd through the 24th. And I think it got changed to November. Or did it get changed to October? And that led to rapture talk trends, despite contradicting biblical teachings about unknowable times. You see, we are instructed to test all things, to judge. See, just because somebody prophesy, I and you are responsible to judge. And prophets are responsible for judging prophecy that prophets prophesy. What are you going to use to judge? The word? How are you going to say God said and God ain't saying or he hasn't said? Reject fear-based teaching. If something causes fear, you know God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. You have to prioritize obedience over speculation. Now, false prophecy doesn't always come from false hearts, but untested prophecy certainly leads to false confidence. Revelation was given to produce endurance, not fear or panic. Prophecy is given to prepare us, not to scare us. So, just a few questions and then we'll draw this down. Is AI in biblical prophecy pertaining to end time events, i.e. the man of lawlessness or the mark of the beast? See, if you can't say no, you're susceptible. I don't believe it is. Is AI associated with or is AI the anti-Messiah, as some ministers are teaching? The anti-Messiah is human. That's right. AI is not. So as I'm hearing this minister, and he's passionate, he's sweating, he's preaching, and people are, it's like, you know, and I believe it's AI. What else can it be? Right? I was listening to somebody I used to have a great deal of respect for. And I say used to. And he mentioned an author who had written a book, AI and the End of the World. And I went and checked it out because I wanted to see it for myself. But the title is misleading, and the author knows it and says it in a video that it's misleading. Actually, the book is about a study of Revelation with inconclusive results. But yet it's being pushed. AI and the End of the World. What role can AI play and how can AI fit when it comes to preaching the word of Jehovah? I would tell anybody, you don't need to be afraid of AI because it has its benefits. And like anything else, it could be used for good or it could be used for evil. It's all going to depend on the person using it. I use AI. It's like an assistant to me. And that's how I use it. Because searching out information that used to take me hours, take me a matter of moments. And I go through it, fact check it, because I have a knowledge of the Bible. You can't pull one over on me. But my Bible tool, if I want to search a word or search a subject, I use it. It gives me all the information. Now I got to look at the Hebrew and the Greek and then the English forms. And in the end, I'm drawing conclusions based on its viability, based on what has been written. See, Father has a plan from A to Z. And what he does is that he establishes the plan and then works at fulfilling it. This is how Yeshua can be the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, long before he's slain in the world. This is how he can know us while we're in our mother's womb, long before our own parents know who we are. And the plan and the purpose that he has for us that is embedded in us when we come into the earth. See, you come here fully aligned with Father's purpose and plan. And what messes us up is the information that is fed to us in this process. This is one of the reasons why the Almighty says, parents, you teach your children these commandments. You teach these children these laws. Why? Because if they don't have the proper foundation of who I am and how I do things, and that foundation is destroyed, where is the righteous going to be? If the foundation is destroyed, where is the righteous going to be? But church says there's none righteous, so you don't have to worry about that. You understand what I'm saying here? Father has given us instructions. Other date-setting claims about the end of the world as we know it by prominent ministers. Should ministers, ministries, and church leaders use AI in their sermon preparation or as a research platform to present the word of Jehovah? If they're led to do so. But beware. Beware. Remember this. When you ask the various AI models a biblical question, they give you a myriad of responses based on the information on that subject that has been uploaded to the internet, which much of it is seriously flawed because it contains research from Christians, from Jews, from the various denominations of Christians, the various Jewish sects, and contain traditions mixed with truth, and you got to separate that stuff. So any lazy person that's going on the internet to get a sermon, but if they're preaching it to ignorant people, it'll go over well. Therefore, you cannot rely on the various AI models to give you actual biblical truth. However, AI can present to you the various information that is available on the internet on a particular subject, which you have to sort through and distinguish eisegesis from exegesis, truth from traditions, and identify anachronisms. Now remember, anachronisms is where modern time, this is how they got Christ into the Bible. Because in first century there was no Christ. This is how they got Jesus into the Bible. In the first century, there was no Jesus. This is how they got Sunday worship into the Bible. In the first century, they weren't worshiping on Sunday. Now, and what I mean is they weren't worshiping on Sunday as a holy day, but they were worshiping on all days, every day, and specifically honoring the Sabbath commandment. So reading things today, so if you tell a Christian Jesus is not in the Bible, some of them are liable to shoot at you. How you can say, and then they want to take you to the English, there it is right there. Now you're going to tell me it ain't in the Bible? Well, yeah, it's in there, but that's an English translation, bruh. Well, Jesus in the English is the Hebrew Yeshua. Jesus, Yeshua. Jesus, Yeshua. Now, it sounds to me it's just as easy to say Yeshua as it is to say Jesus. Why we got to change it? I was having a conversation with my wife, and we were talking about names, and it's like, okay, if you were to go to Russia or North Korea or South Korea, if you can get in, or South Korea or China, and somebody asks you what your name is, here's your response. Well, my name is such and such, but what's my name in Chinese? Well, you know, Chinese is not a language. It's Mandarin or some other dialect. How many times have you asked people to tell what your name is in their language? How many times when somebody has asked you what your name is, that you give them their translation of your name? It don't work like that. You tell them what your name is, right? And yet, for some reason or another, we need a translation of Yeshua. It makes no sense. But see, once you've been brainwashed, it's easy to just brainwash you all over the place. Now we need to be brainwashed for real with a renewing of the mind. Artificial intelligence will never be able to replace the intelligence of Jehovah. Artificial intelligence will never be able to replace being led by the Spirit. AI will never be able to replace your connection with Jehovah. What artificial intelligence will be, if you allow it to be, is a buffer between you and Jehovah, to where you become dependent on being led by AI instead of being led by Spirit. That would be a big mistake. Big mistake. People who depend on artificial intelligence would not only be misled, but will mislead others. When it comes to biblical truth, nothing compares or replaces Holy Spirit-led searching the scriptures and information based on factual, written, biblical text. If people can get you out the Bible, they got you. If you stick with what is written, you're safe. Artificial intelligence is intelligence that is artificial. It is not factual intelligence. It is not biblical intelligence. It is not godly intelligence. It is not spiritual intelligence. It is why it is called artificial intelligence, which is not intelligent at all. A few more slides and we're done. The conclusion is that you can use AI models to do research. You just can't depend on the research the various AI models produce, because they basically gather information of what has been uploaded to the internet and present the various teachings. How do you think professors are able to distinguish their students' work to determine whether it's authentically theirs or something that they had some computer generate? See, every last one of us have a pattern. We have a language pattern. We have a speak pattern. We have a pattern about everything we do. And people around us and people who get to know us begin to recognize those patterns. And when your pattern change, that's an indication something has changed. When your use of words change, when your sentence structures change, it says something has changed. Now, what is it? Have you become more intelligent all of a sudden? Now, if it's right, then, and you're learning, and you're researching, and you're growing, and you're doing the work, you're putting the work into it, then yeah, you should grow. As you search the word, as you write, read, and allow the Holy Spirit to instruct you, yeah, you should become wiser. But don't be trying to fool nobody. Finally, AI is artificial intelligence. It cannot function independent of the human intelligence feeding it the information it has. AI does not have a human brain. AI is computer-based technology. It cannot replace the human brain. And so it's important that we put AI in its proper perspective. Otherwise, we will give it a place it's not supposed to have in our lives. And then the last slide. AI is technology designed by men. The human brain is designed by God. AI functions with the information it is given. AI cannot replace humans. It can only replace jobs humans do. You don't have to be afraid of AI taking over the world. AI will not take over the world. And here's the thing that is really prominent, because this is the thing that I think people really see AI as that blasphemous idol that will be placed in this temple, that it will be able to speak, and it will speak blasphemies. It'll speak blasphemies. When you understand that AI is artificial intelligence and that AI can only speak based on the information it is given, the only way AI can speak blasphemies against God is that some human program it to do so. So, going forward, hopefully this information will help you free yourself from the fears that people are trying to bring you under. And I'm hoping that it was worth it. Father in heaven, I thank you so much again for the opportunity to stand before your people and to present the information that is given. I ask that you show us what to do with it, how to take it, how to incorporate it. And we just come against fears of every kind, the spirit of fears. Help us to be a people who is diligent in your word, looking to your coming, keeping our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, our Messiah, our anointed one, our King. Bless you. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, at this time, what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity to give. We're going to have some quick announcements, and then we're going to open up for Q&A. Father, we just thank you for this time of giving. We pray your blessings upon this time, not only on the gift, but also on the giver. Let none lack as a result of their giving, but to the contrary, cause the windows of heaven, the blessings of heaven, the treasures of heaven to manifest in our space. Lead us and guide us to your blessings. Not only bless us, but cause us to be a blessing, and show us whom to be a blessing to. And we ask, Father, that you just be glorified in our giving, be glorified in our living, in Messiah. Amen. So at this particular time, for those of you who are online, those of you who desire to support our ministry, there's five ways that you can best support us, where 100% of your contribution come to us. And that is through Zelle, Venmo, Cash App, Bill Pay. You can use checks or money orders sent to P.O. Box 1182, Fort Mill, South Carolina. And then there are other ways that you can give also through PayPal, wire funds. You can call your donation in. You can text to give. If you're in Canada, you can use the Canadian donation link. And as always, whatever method you use to give, we appreciate your gifts. Amen. This time we have some announcements. And then the mics are open.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, family. Just a reminder announcement. You know, last week the new moon was sighted in Israel, and today is the sixth day of the 10th biblical month. So keep saving your second tithes, because the early feast will be here before you know it, so to say. We are making plans. That's right. The administrative staff is working almost overtime to have a marketplace and workshops during the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread, of course, on the non-Sabbath day. So if you would like to be a vendor or conduct a workshop, please let us know through the Contact Us form or the office hotline at 888-899-1479. Shalom. Shabbat.
Amen. All right. With that said, the mics are open.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Just a couple of statements, an interesting observation. Then I have a question as well.
Okay.
So I work for a big technology company called Oracle. And of course,
Oracle.
They are very much moving into the AI world and have been for a while. So part of my job and expectation is not only to know about AI, but to program them. So, and learn how to create what they call, they're not bots, they're calling them AI agents. So it's very interesting. So I'm constantly having webinars and trainings on this topic. And one interesting thing that we just talked about it this past week is if they don't know the answer, they don't say, I don't know. They just make up things. And they even have a name for that called hallucinations. So, and they learn, you know, from other input. So depending on the parameters and what you allow them to learn, they can learn from other people's input. So in a simple generic way, they're kind of like Wikipedia where anybody can change it.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly like that, but the concept is, you know, you can't really fully rely on them. You have to double check, but they can help. A lot of people use them for like summarizing emails or putting a document and asking it to summarize a large document, etc. But just be careful because any document you put out there, it could be intellectual property of the company. So you don't want to just put things out there. So there's also, you have to be careful with that as well. okay. So the question I have is actually on the Mark of the Beast. One of the ones on there was the Sabbath worship. And I know this came from the Seventh Day folks. And I actually saw a video recently about that. And in some ways it made sense to me because the Sabbath was given to God's people as a sign. So to me, I'm like, well, what if this is it? What if the Sabbath worship is the mark of the beast? So my question is it possible or does it have to be, like you said, a human or an actual mark?
Yeah, there are. It was that question there. I was at a conference and a former Seventh-day Adventist evangelist was preaching. I was invited to this conference and this evangelist made that statement that Sunday worship is the mark of the beast and that the Sabbath was the mark of believers and that anybody who worship on Sunday is actually following the beast. And this is actually what started the research for Sunday is not the Sabbath. That's the process, because now it's like, okay, I've not heard that before, that Sunday is the mark of the beast. And I know that when it comes down to Sunday, that I had been taught and raised not only in going to church on Sunday, but being told that Sunday was the Christian Sabbath, that there's now a Sabbath day for the Jews and a Sabbath day for the Christians. And I started the process of searching out this information. And what I came to conclude is that God, who established the Sabbath, there is no place where he unestablished it. It's like, well, how did it get changed? Who changed it? The apostles didn't change it. The people in the Bible didn't change it. And come to find out, the change came long after the Bible had been supposedly completed and written and given to us. So I couldn't find that. But here's the other thing that causes me to not wholeheartedly agree, but to agree in part. There are many signs in the book. There was the blood on the doorpost. That was a sign. There was the sign that is supposed to be on our hand and on our forehead. And many in the Hebrew community dealt with that as phylacteries and tying tefillims, binding the word around one's forearm and on one's forehead. And these are supposed to be the marks, which comes to mean that the mark now is Torah. And so these are marks. And so now it's like there are many marks, and that is just one. The Sabbath is a mark, but it's not the only mark. You hear what I'm saying? And so I can't conclude that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship when I see, and using all of these illustrations that these individuals are saying, you know, it comes down to buying and selling. Whereas this mark is necessary, and one voluntarily takes it in order to do commerce, which in itself becomes voluntary worship to a system. And whether you accept this or not, because this is some scary stuff when politics and religion meets, and now you have these white nationalists, and you have Christianity as the religion of individuals that, you know, have their own agenda, in a sense. And this is why politics in the Bible don't mix. You can't mix politics in the Bible, because some of these people who are Republicans, it seems as if they worship the Republican Party. And some of these people who are Democrats, it seems as if they worship the Democratic Party, and especially its leaders. It's scary. But for us, we know better. And because we know better, we don't take part in that, not to that degree. There's nothing wrong with voting if you want to vote. But when you start taking it to the degree to where, you know, you start demonizing, in that word there, demonizing the other, now you've taken a position that is not biblical. Yes, ma'am.
Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
I just really had a comment on the teaching and how powerful this teaching really is. Another sister and I, we were talking about it and how excited we was to hear this message today, and how you've taken a lot of things that the world has come along and made us fearful about when it comes down to AI, when it comes down to internet. There's just so much information to where it becomes so overwhelming, you know, pulling you in all different types of directions, you know. But us as men and women of the Most High, or children of the Most High, it's important for us to stay focused on His word, you know. And that's what we can take different prophecies, so to speak, and different things that are being said. We can focus on, take that information. How can we apply that to the word, or what does the word actually say about it? And how can we apply that in our lives? But if we get caught up so much on what's on the internet, what's on TV, what someone is saying, oh, here's another prophecy, oh my goodness, we need to do that. you know, or, oh my goodness. And then it just kind of invokes fear. You know, she and I were talking about different prophecies that came in our lives. And you said it in the message, if this prophecy has invoked fear, that's not the Most High. I used to be under that where some people would prophesy to me and I was terrified, completely terrified. But Father delivered, you know, came in and delivered. But we limit ourselves instead of focusing on the word of the Most High. It just goes straight out the window. And just listening to what somebody said instead of taking the information and putting it to the test is what I'm hearing in the message. And it was so important. And limiting ourselves, another comment you made, limiting our ability to think or to use our mind or to educate ourselves, you know, we just limit ourselves to that. We don't, you know, there was this movie that came out a long time ago. It was called Limitless. And though the guy, there was this drug he took, it didn't make you high or anything like that, but it tapped into what was already there. And this man was extremely smart, but it gave him the ability to tap into every part of everything that he ever learned in his life. He just soared in his business, in practices, focused. Before then, he couldn't even focus enough to clean his own apartment, you know, and it gave a lot of, I watched it a long time ago and then I recently watched it and I'm like, whoa, because it came out a long time ago, but it was called Limitless. But we are the mind in which the Almighty has given us, or the ability can be limitless when we put him in there and we add the word in it. There's nothing that we cannot do. We can't, that AI or internet can't compare to what Father has given to us, is what I'm saying. So I'm grateful for this word. And another part is that we forget. Mm. We forget. You know, a lot of the things that you said on the charts, I remember those things. I remember watching TBN and all the different prophecies and different over time. And when things came out, I was just like, oh my goodness, I remember that. Mm-hmm. But yet you forget.
You don't forget.
You don't forget.
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate this teaching bringing a lot of things into perspective.
Amen.
The more important part is eliminating the fear.
Yeah.
Eliminating the fear, that we do not have to operate in fear, because that is not Jehovah.
Amen.
So I appreciate that.
Amen. When it comes down to the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to know the mind of God. It allows us to enter into a place and a space depending on our commitment and walk with him that determines what he will reveal to us, because some information we aren't able to handle. And so Father, you know, as it is said, he doesn't put more on us than we are able. We have to work at remembering. And Father says, remember, 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 which is don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. And then even these strings that he commands us to wear for the whole purpose of remembering, these you wear these so that you can remember my commandments. That's him saying, I know you're capable of forgetting, because many of us have short-term memories. But I can tell you that you can focus on the things you want to remember. You can also focus on the things that you need to forget. When you think about it, what we remember is hurt. We remember pain. And you know, hurt and pain, once it etches in our memory, it creates its own fear. It does. Because if you've been traumatized in an area, that trauma has a space forever in your mind. It actually begins to reprogram your way of thinking. You remember the people who hurt you. And it creates an issue of forgiveness. If you're going to practice forgetting, forget hurt. Forget pain. Forget people who have wronged you. Well, why should I forget that? They might try to wrong me again. No, you have parameters in your life. You should have parameters. You should have had parameters then, because if you had had parameters, you wouldn't have been wronged. Looking at, okay, what is your moral compass? What are you basing your decision making off of? What are you using to govern your life and the boundaries that you place in your life? What measurements are you using whereby you grant people access into your space to where they can deposit things into your spirit? How have you guarded your heart? Are you guarded? Because see, when you begin to purpose your mind and focusing on the things that Father is saying you should focus on, you know why God gives us his instructions. Because he wants us to be like him. What do you think he means when he says, be ye holy as I am holy? How do you interpret that? You can't be holy like he's holy unless you know what is holy to him. And how can you be holy if we're taught to reject the things that he declared to be holy, like holy convocations, holy Sabbath, holy feast days? How are you going to be holy like he's holy and you're not remembering and doing the things that he has declared holy? You got another form of holiness that ain't holy at all. Declaring your own holiness. So Father gives us these instructions. He gives us these words that come from his perfect being. And he says, now, learn this, teach this, remember this. Don't do this, do this. That's how he is. That's how he wants us to be. That's how he wants all of us to be. And imagine if we're all operating by those same rules. Now you got community. You can't have a harmonious community with everybody having their own system by which they govern themselves. Yes, sir.
Shabbat shalom, sir.
Shabbat shalom, sir.
It's been an eventful few weeks, I can tell you that. But before I go into all that, I would like to say that I enjoyed today's message. And the fact that, you know, you brought up AI, you know, artificial intelligence. And a lot of times I couldn't help but think about Data on Star Trek, you know, the robots running around. Or iRobot, you know. And these things, they only know the input that's put into them. You know, one of the big things about Data, so to speak, was he was trying to learn human emotion and all this other stuff. You know, being a robot, he ain't going to be able to do all that. But anyway. And then you mentioned something about the banks trying to get into this Bitcoin. I think that's what you said.
Digital currency, yeah.
But it just reminded me of how the world banks have been in behind controlling the nations and the wars of the world for a long time, like the Rothschilds, you know. And you mentioned, and I couldn't help but you said something about Big Brother. Well, that took me back to... I like watching noir movies, you know, the old black ones. I catch them on YouTube sometimes. And one of them was 1984, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of it, but it's George Orwell's 1984. And man, they go through, he's got that eye just watching everybody, watching all your moves, and people are programmed and they're sneaky and all kind of stuff. It's an interesting movie, but it's also quite boring. But it shows how society is being watched by Big Brother, so to speak, you know. And if anybody's never hadn't seen 1984, read the book, a novel, it's interesting because it began back in 1949. The movie was made in the 50s. So it's just a little interesting, trivial piece, you know. There was something else. But anyway, let's get to the events that happened for the past 3 weeks. I was around, I don't remember what day it was, but I'm hanging around the house, I'm doing nothing, and I keep getting bombarded in my mind of spiritual conflict, battling demons, and I know what's going on. And so I start rebuking. With authority, I'm rebuking any and all dark principalities that have ever tried to latch themselves onto me, tried to usurp me. And with all authority and power, I'm rebuking. And I did this for about 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes for a while there. I'm just proclaiming, you know, the authority that's been given to me through Yeshua. Okay? And afterwards, I feel good. My mind's clear. And I don't remember if it's later on that day or the next day. But an old acquaintance of mine just shows up out of nowhere, banging on the door. Okay. And I kind of cast this fella off because when I first started coming in and learning, when Father started teaching me, opening my eyes, I communicated a lot of things with him, and he rejected it. And he would say certain things, and I would rebuke it. He got upset. He said, you used to, I could say anything, you didn't care. I said, well, that don't matter anymore. And I try to explain to him about your words have life and death power in them, you know, and you're not going to speak anything over me. So we talked a little bit, and he's wanting us to start hanging out again. He kept insinuating that. But he wanted me to... He didn't want me to speak rebuke over what things that he was saying. In other words, it's all right for him to continue to say anything that he did, but he didn't want me to rebuke it. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. If you speak something, then I'm going to rebuke it, especially if it's over me. He said, well, don't do it in front of anybody. So if you say it in front of somebody, I'm going to do it. Anyway, so I let that. And we talked a little bit more. And, well, I mean, because we had been acquaintances for a long time. But, I mean, he got mad one time. He said, ever since you started this religion stuff, you've changed and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, I'm like, look, you want to be that way, so be it. I'm not going to be that way anymore. You know, and I told him, you know, I'm a new man. He didn't know about Thomas yet, so I had to proclaim that to him. And, but anyway, as we talked, and, you know, he always come up, well, you know, I don't understand the Bible. I said, yeah, you may not understand it. And I said, but if, when you want to know about something, you find, you take the means away. Like, he said, like what? I said, your comic book heroes. Man, you want to know all kinds of stuff about them, so you go out of your way to learn about that, but you need to know about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, the bottom line, he specifically told me, because I mentioned it, I said, you don't want to know. He said, no, I don't. He said, if you're going to be honest about it, no, I don't. Okay. And toward the end of the conversation, he openly admitted, he said, you know, I know Christmas is pagan. He said, there's no doubt about it. He said, I know this. He said, but the only reason I do it is because people around me. I'm like, what association can light have with darkness? Righteousness with unrighteousness. I can't do it. Especially when you openly admit that you put people above Heavenly Father. Absolutely not. Yeah. That's exactly what he's doing, and absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's written, you know, Yeshua said, if you put mother, father, brother before me, then you're not worthy of me. And I'm not doing it. I will not do it. Yeah. So, and there have been other attacks. But, you know, during all this, I know Father's with me.
Amen.
And he strengthens me. He encourages me. And I don't worry about it. I don't worry about it. But there is one other thing that has happened. That happened last week. That I want to bring out. I wasn't sure if I was going to say anything about this or not until you brought up the phone and your debit card associated with the phone. Now, I don't have my debit card, bank card associated with my phone, but I do have it linked to my PayPal account. And I use my PayPal account primarily for the simple reason of sending Marcus. And, you know, and I pay the fees myself so they don't have to come out of his, you know. But that's the reason I keep the PayPal account anyway. But occasionally, if I may come across something that, like a pair of gloves or whatever, you know, that I may order, and it gives you the option of just using your PayPal account instead of going through and putting all your credit card information in and all this other stuff. And I've done that a few times and never had a problem. Until this past week, I went to order some stuff and I used that PayPal account. Boom. I got hit with some foreign, somewhere over in China company. They hit my account for a substantial amount of money. Yes. And PayPal's been alerted to it. They're looking into it. My bank's been alerted to it. They're looking into it. But you want to know something? The best of my ability, best thing I can say is I know this happened to me, that my bank account was hit. Am I happy about it? Absolutely not. Am I worried about it? Absolutely not. I know Father's in it. He has allowed it to happen for a lesson for me to either learn, to show me something, to test me, to grow my faith. Whatever the lesson is, I'm willing to go through it. But I wanted you to know that sometimes, well, you can be hit from anywhere, but I just, you know, my PayPal account got hit. Yeah. Went to the bank. But like I said, I'm putting it in Father's hands. Yeah. I know that he'll watch over it, take care of it. I'm not happy about it, but I'm not upset about it either. Explaining that is understandable, you know what I'm talking about, because I know Heavenly Father is watching over all that.
Yes, he is.
So, anyway, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, I would ask if we have questions online, but we ain't online. Or are we? We still not there. So this is just ridiculous. But anyway, yes, sir.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom again.
Shabbat Shalom, brother.
I just wanted to share something that kind of goes along with, you know, about AI and your last couple slides. So I stopped Googling things, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys remember, Google was, I mean, like AI today, it was Google. Well, just Google it. You know, mm-hmm. You hear that term everywhere. Well, Google's great. In a half a second, you get hundreds of responses from your inquiry, whatever you were searching for or searching on. Now, that's when I stopped, when I found out a little chat AI that can do the same thing, and I didn't have to get hundreds of responses. I just got one nice one, and it asked you questions at the end. So now, fast forward to today, if you Google something, yep, you still get those hundreds of responses in 0.5 seconds, but it gives you a nice AI summary now at the top. So, yeah, although I'll Google something really, but I'll use my AI. Mm-hmm. Now, so about 2 months ago, I just thought, well, let me just do AI for something other than recipes, because guys, let me tell you, if maybe you're not the best master cook, that little AI thing, matter of fact, for tomorrow, I'm making lasagna with Italian turkey sausage. So I just say, give me a recipe with a lasagna and using Italian turkey sausage. boom, you got it. Anyway, I said, well, hey, create me a slide, a PowerPoint slide presentation on major and minor prophets in the Bible. You know, separate it, categorize it by major, minor, include the year in which they were around and what king they served under. Boom. About 8-10 slides pop out, and I'm, you know, it gives me the results I was asking for. And I'm like, I'm looking through it. Now, this particular AI will also have a memory. Within like 30 days, you can go back any of your previous chats and ask it a follow-up or ask it something else. So anyway, I'm looking through this slide deck. It gave me what I asked for. Nothing else, maybe nothing less. And I asked it, well, what about Moses? Now, here's the funny thing. So its list did not have Moses in there as a major or minor prophet. And I thought that was an error. It responded, good point. Mainstream Christianity today would consider Moses a major prophet. So here, let me redo the deck for you, and here's including Moses. So I just thought I'd share that. In other words, all that to say, it's not always super accurate. It's based on what was input in there. So I guess you got to be get that Christian response to get Moses in there. So I just thought I'd let everybody know. So you had mentioned about Bible facts. It is off. It's only as good as what it can glean. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Yes, sir.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Russell, Arthur. And, we met a few months back, and, you know, I work for a technology store as well. And one of the very interesting trends that
And your name is?
My name is Oldair.
Oldair.
Oldair. Yeah, there's an interesting name. If you guys forget, you ask me again. And one of the very interesting trends from everything that you were talking about, I guess I was thinking that the very important thing is that the problem was not technology. I think that's one of the main things that I got from what you were saying. As always, is how we are using the technology. And I got to hear some Christian people that were using AI to translate their spiritual tongues. I was like, whoa, that's like a new one for me. This is the ultimate cutting edge information here. Like, they're like, yeah, you know, I speak in tongues and then AI will give me the interpretation. I was like, so I get goosebumps just from saying this. And the one thing that I felt like the Father bringing to my mind is like, this is exactly what witchcraft is in you now using AI, you know, kind of like substituting what you were just saying, which was our innate ability of the brain that is connected to the Father, yeah. Right? And now we're like, okay, AI, you tell me what your brain says about me. So I was like, wow, this is something that Christians really need to be like staying away from, or are people, just because it will never substitute our innate ability to hear from the Father. And the other thing was that which you were talking about is that technology can also be used. We can use it for our development and the spread of word of the Father, right? So I guess the one thing that I was getting is that the only way to do that is to stay standing on the word. And you were saying this, the word of God says it will be here forever, is the only thing that never changes. And if we get new generations of our children, I have little ones, so I was thinking I need to make sure that they know the word of God so that they are well cemented, because you start talking to AI, and like the brother was saying, the AI will just omit so many steps, so many different parts of information, unless you know and you make it give it to you. So I want to say thank you, because I truly felt like you were certainly getting the download from heaven on how we should use technology. And the one question that I was going to ask is, what is the one parameter that you are using to sort of identify how to use technology to glorify God and how to stay away from technology to be protected from being deviated?
The one...
One parameter, like how are you
in
your personal life, how are you going about that?
The one parameter I use is knowledge of his word. That is the key parameter. Because the only way you'll ever be able to determine counterfeit is you know the real. Mm. And when a person, see, if you think about what you were saying this person was doing, is that they're speaking their tongues into AI, that's assuming, that's a major assumption that one, AI has the gift of the Spirit, and specifically the gift of interpretation of tongues. That's a warped mind. Mm. And people will tell you where they are in their head by that. Because how can you, if your tongues are supernatural, how can AI interpret supernatural? It can't.
Excellent.
So what you're getting and you're believing is what you think AI has the capacity to do when it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like there are no, I'll ask questions. I'll ask information, and then I'll dive, as you'll see on some of these Google, you can dive deeper in that. Mm-hmm. Now, I spent some time, and I don't normally do this, but I have a rule that I don't listen to homosexuals. Now, there's some really intelligent homosexuals out there, but the fact that they're homosexual causes me to question their intelligence, because intelligent people would not be engaged in that. Now, one of the leading figures in AI is a fellow by the name of Sam Altman. And I pushed myself to listen to some interview that he gave on the parameters that they use in order to establish AI. Because there's a fellow by the name of John McCarthy. He's dead, but he's considered to be the father of AI. If you trace it back down, you'll find that he's the one who was involved in the team that actually gave AI the name AI, or artificial intelligence. And so now you've got ChatGPT. It's one of the leading figures out there. And some of you all may know there was a big issue between Elon Musk and Sam Altman, because they were supposed to be involved in the whole establishment. And now all of these individuals that are trying to corner the market on AI, Oracle's being one of them, the founder of Oracle's, and some of these other people, because that's where technology is headed. So I'm listening to this information that they're using to input into these models in order for it to propagate. Mm. Now, here's the thing about it, that with where we are today, you've got the world, and I wouldn't be surprised if everybody in here, whether you've intentionally used AI, if you've been on the internet, you have used AI unintentionally if you didn't know. Mm-hmm. Because it goes all the way back to Hey Siri, or what is this other one, Alexa, Alexa. It goes all the way back, and it's just getting more and more complex in its development and its ability through the algorithms and all of the other thing in order to produce the kind of responses. But when you have hundreds of millions of people going to the same system, asking for certain information, and then responding to it, because AI starts asking you questions. Every time I have used it, it in the end asked me a series of questions. Would you like for me to present this to you, or do you like a graphic? Do you want it? Because, I've given AI parameters as to, I don't use Jesus, I don't use God or Lord or whatever the case may be, because I want it to present information to me in certain ways. And so I may put parameters in there. but my what I always focus on.
The word.
I asked it some questions, and man, it gave me some off information. I'm telling you, but the information is, and this is why I say in the presentation, is pulling information from over 40-some thousand denominations. It's pulling information from various religious institutions. And one of the things that I didn't put in there, if you remember this guy, what was his name? He took all these people and Jim Jones. Jim Jones was able to convince a bunch of people about the world coming to an end or some type of virus or whatever the case may be to where he gets them all over into this particular island and they all end up dead. Mm-hmm. And there's all of these examples of where people who put their faith in something else other than the Almighty, which is another issue.
Well, going into that, the other thing that I heard, which you just touched on it, I had a customer saying that she was asking AI about her husband, how to find her husband. And she was like telling it like, oh, this is what I feel about this person. And the AI was guiding her, confirming him that this person could be the right one. And I was like, whoa. I was like, what is that I'm hearing? This is so very interesting on everything you're saying, how we can certainly, this is what I continue to get. Or we're deviating from trusting in the Father, right? And yeah. I was like, man, I guess we got to go back to the Father always. And so just interesting views that I've seen the world getting. But I think that the one thing that hit me, and you just said it again, the only way not to get carried away with technology is staying grounded with the Word.
You have to stay grounded.
Okay.
You have to stay grounded. Because people will go to AI thinking that AI is going to give them the answers. The majority of religious people don't know God's voice. They just don't know. And because they don't know, they're looking for information from ministers, from preachers, and now more and more technology. That's what's happening. Now, people won't say that they worship this technology. I remember a lot of conversations, and I'm reluctant sometimes to repeat some of the conversations that I've had because, you know, it's hard to repeat when someone may get bothered by the fact that what I'm saying may be in reference to a conversation that I may have had with them. And from time to time, I know that because my growth and my learning is based on my communications with people and my experience with people. And we learn from our experiences, and my experiences with people have taught me a lot, some of which is difficult to share without, you know, putting somebody on the spot, not calling their name, but them recognizing the conversation. And I know that this is one of the reasons why my mom would have had a hard time in our church. Because much of my experience in my childhood and the things that I've had to live through and overcome, it would be hard for her to hear and difficult for me to say, which means that I'd be reluctant to speak certain things because I wouldn't want to bring any kind of offense to her. Last week, I mentioned a situation, a conversation about talking to the saints in private. And you remember the brother got up and he was bothered. Now, I didn't mention no name. But what I was trying to bring out is how conversations between husbands and wives in private can get really, really ugly. And they don't like that getting into public. But at the same time, these things repeatedly happen, and individuals don't know what to do to bring some kind of order and structure so those things don't happen. So they continue to go through these fights, go through these arguments, these screaming sessions, and they don't get better, and it leads to separation, divorce, or what have you. And in counseling with individuals, it's a matter of, okay, here's a lesson. But what you need to understand is what you're saying is being said by so many people. You think that this problem is uniquely yours, but I could tell you some other people that are having this very same problem. And don't think for a moment you're the only one. The devil, he's playing you just like he played them, and he's playing everybody, and he don't need to learn new tricks because he got a bag full of ones that works well. You understand what I'm saying? He got a whole bunch of them. Now, the problem that we have is that we have to really, truly learn how to die. Until you learn how to die, you're going to continue to have these problems because you're always going to see somebody else as the problem, not yourself. Ain't nobody making you do nothing. If I say something to you and you get upset by what I said, did I make you upset? Or did you choose to get upset at what I said? You getting upset is your choice. You can let it go in one ear and out the other like you do so many other things. So why you choose that to be a sticking point, to get under your crawl and cause you to start acting a certain way? And then blame the other person for your behavior. Now, the problem is you. And the moment you realize and keep realizing that you are your biggest problem, it ain't your wife. It ain't your husband. It's not your children. It's not even your parents. Your parents live their lives. You're living yours. The problem is that you got some stuff in you that when people get near it or say something or push it, or aim at it, you go into this mode. And this is your actions. So to keep from going into those modes, forget that stuff. Get to a point to where you can say anything. You can talk about my mama till you blue in the face. I know you don't know what you're talking about because you don't know my mama. So you can't really talk about her because you don't know her. So why would I get mad because you want to talk about my mama? You don't know my mama. You understand what I'm saying? You could call me what you want, but am I that? No. So why am I getting mad at what you say? And once you start practicing these things, what will happen is that nothing anybody can say will bother you. Right. Nothing. You can laugh at it. You understand? And people who used to be able to push a button, who is pushing those buttons and it ain't working, now they getting upset because you ain't upset. It's like, what you bothered by? Because you can't control my emotions no more. You don't have no control, bruh. So nothing you can say, no matter how you look, no matter how you snarl, no matter how you gnash or hiss, I control this. And I bring this under subjection to the Holy Spirit, who is the control factor in my life. You understand what I'm saying? Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. If you don't have it, how can you say God in there? And if he is in there, he quiet. There's something else raging that's rising to the surface that's keeping him at bay in you who claim to be the Son of God. Yes, sir.
Well, first, let me be the first one to raise my hand. Guilty as charged. Everything you just said. Guilty.
I wasn't talking about you.
I know you wasn't. But it was me, too. It ain't just me, but I know it was me. Because I haven't gotten there, but I am proclaiming that by the Ruach and walking in it, I'll do exactly what you're saying and not give that button the ability to even be pushed. Mm-hmm. So back to the sermon. It was great teaching. And I see how predominant this new AI is. The Antichrist thing is becoming so predominant as people, you know, reacting to it and being so afraid. And I just wanted to make sure that my understanding is on par mm-hmm. with what you're saying. And because they base the AI is the Antichrist based on the fact that they separate the two. As far as I can understand, it's the beast and the anti-Messiah are two different entities, what they're saying. And this AI is the beast. And anti-Messiah is the man. No, that's my not what understanding.
Are you asking me if that's what I'm saying? Or
No. I'm just saying my understanding is that that's incorrect. That as far as I understand, the beast and the anti-Messiah are the same thing. The anti-Messiah and the beast are.
They're in cahoots in the word. Yes.
Yeah. The man that Satan uses, but they're one. They're not too different.
It's the same system.
Exactly.
Because there's the mark of the beast, and then there is the man of lawlessness, and then there are all of these beast systems that represent nations. And we're going to really tie into that when we get into Revelation, and I'm looking forward to that. But all of this stuff is precursor to that. So individuals out there are trying to say that AI is the anti-Messiah and connected to the mark of the beast.
But the anti-Messiah is a man.
Is what?
Is a man.
It is.
Yes, sir.
However, and here's the other thing. John writes to us that already there's a lot of them
in the world.
There's a lot of anti-Messiahs in the world, but there's a particular one that is going to be used, but there's a lot of them already being used.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. I think that's it. If there's no other questions or comments, then we're going to close it down. Any other? Now, people, okay. Your relationship with Father will be measured by what you do when you are facing a situation. If there's a sickness or an illness and your first response is to call the doctor or to set an appointment to see the doctor instead of believing the Almighty, calling on Him and giving Him time to respond to your situation, your response just showed you where you are. And if you pay attention to where you are, you'll identify where you are. And in the process of identifying, you see areas where you need to go to work at on you. It's really not anybody else's business. It's really for you. And this is one of the reasons why I tell you, you got to always know where you are. You always got to know where you are. You always need to know where your headspace is, where you are spiritually. Because if you're not aware of where you are spiritually, you'll find yourself yielding and giving place to entities other than the Holy Spirit. You may say, and ask yourself this, if Satan goes about like a roaring lion, what does that look like in your life? Because you don't see a lion coming at you roaring. But next thing you know, you're operating in a spirit as if you're being chased by a lion. There's the spirit of... You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Because something has gotten in you and changed you into this crazy person, to this wild person, to where you're letting blasphemies come out your mouth. You're letting words and things come out your mouth. And how can you speak these damnable things to the people that you love? How can you be saying things to people that you are committed to for life, and you're talking to them in a way like they're lower than doo-doo? Something is not adding up. You understand what I'm saying? Because you should be able to say anything in your heart to the person that you love and care about in a way that is not demeaning. Because the goal is really to help them understand where you are concerning this issue, not get them defensive and upset, but to hear you. And when you are operating in the spirit of the Almighty, then you may say some things that are difficult, but they're not going to come out in a condemning manner. They're going to come out in a loving manner. And this is where you and I have to work on. How do we get into that space? And how do we protect that space once we get into that space? And how do we keep from getting drawn out of that space back into that old man? And you have to know. You have to know where you are. You have to know where you are. Amen. Father, we know there's so much more we can say about this matter, but at this particular point, we bring this time to a close, and we pray that you continue to work with us, that you continue to reveal yourself to us, you continue to show us whether or not we get it, whether we got it, and then how to hold on to it so that we can walk in it and live in that space. And I thank you, and I pray your hedge of protection around your people, that they begin to walk in the authority and the power that you have made available to us by your spirit, by your anointing. Help us to seek you first, not to seek AI or any other means, not to seek healing or deliverance from some other entity without seeking you first. Help us to recognize and to put you first so that you are our first go-to, that we truly seek first your kingdom and your righteousness in every area, acknowledging you in all of our ways, and then waiting on you to direct our path. When we don't know what to say, help us to be quiet, not to just open our mouth and start talking. Help us to not be people who have to feel we have to defend ourselves while claiming you fight for us. Bless us in our going and our coming, and be glorified in our lives always. Amen. Okay, well, at this time, we're going to release you. Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a request for prayer. And since we don't have requests online, what do we got here? I do. I am able to read it. I'm just trying to take my time to read it and then how to deal with it. So I'm going to ask if you can, you're already standing. Your husband aware of all this? Do he know you're dealing with these issues? Has he been praying for you? Huh? Has he? Yeah, I'm asking y'all questions. You've been praying for her? Yeah? So I'm going to say something. And first of all, I want to say this. You've been doing a lot better. I've noticed you more and more. And that's a good thing. It really is. Because as I said, you know, and this was a powerful statement. I didn't hear it until after I said it, even though deep down inside I knew it, but I never knew how to articulate it. And it just came out a couple of weeks ago about there's something supernatural that takes place when we're together. It's like the Almighty is moving among us. And then I think some conversations took place. One conversation specifically was about your car not starting, and you, if you hadn't been here to have Kingsley say some things to you, that this showed up afterwards, and it's little things like that. But when we're in the company of unbelievers, there's supernatural stuff that happens also. Exactly. Yes. That the people that we allow in our space, especially if we don't know how to stay guarded all the time, some of us aren't even thinking about staying guarded. And here's one of the things that I have to say in Christianity was very helpful is when they said, every morning, you got to put on your armor. You got to put on your armor. You got to keep your armor on. You understand? And what they were saying is that you got to stay guarded. You have to stay guarded, because when you go into a space and you're not guarded, when you allow people into your space and you're not guarded, things that are on them will come on you, and you don't even know they're there until after the fact. There's always spiritual activity going on around you, and you have to be aware that spiritual activity is happening. In this space, there's spiritual activity that is happening for your good and for your benefit. In other spaces, unless you are guarded and in tune, there's spiritual activity that is working against you. And you have to be mindful that activity is going on. You are never by yourself. There's always, and you may not be able to see it, but there's always supernatural activity going on in your space. So you have to learn to pull down. You have to monitor. You have to think about your thoughts. What are people saying? Are you rebuking things that people are saying? Are you allowing the words that people are speaking over you into your life? Are you guarded? You understand what I'm saying? This is real stuff. It's real stuff. And so if there's a battle going on, because I'm going to have to release this if I pray this prayer publicly, concerning your mind and struggling with anxiety, some of that is natural because your body is going through some changes you have no idea. You're just going through some changes, and that child inside of you, it's pulling things from you. You don't know what's going on in there, but that child is taking things from you, which is why it's important for you to get the proper rest, get the proper diet in place, and begin to take care of yourself. Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself. You can't operate like you operated before you were pregnant. You can't do it. And so this whole struggle, the enemy keeps finding ways to attack your mind. How does he keep finding ways? See, you're not aware of the enemy and how he works. This is why we have to be mindful of the wiles and the schemes and the strategies of the enemy. You have to see that stuff coming. But how do you see it coming unless you are training yourself? That's whole discipleship all over again. You have to be able to distinguish between the holy supernatural and the unholy supernatural, because it's both supernatural. And the enemy is coming after the mind. This is why we have to be mindful, always monitoring the thoughts, because if there's an attack on your mind, then how do you fight that? You take those thoughts captive. You take those thoughts captive. And if you are allowing your mind to just wander and go places, you can't do that. You got to take thoughts captive, cast them down. Why? Because it's your mind. You have authority over your mind. And the only way the enemy can attack your mind is somehow you giving place to it. Now you have to identify, well, how am I doing that? What am I doing that's giving him access to me? Because you're supposed to be guarded, and his protection is around you, unless it ain't. And if it ain't, then you have to make sure that it is. And this is why every morning I pray the Lord's Prayer. Every morning. You see. Deliver me from all evil. From all. And then trust and believe that he does it. And then be mindful of what you're doing. Did you want to say something before I pray?
Yes, I did. Thank you. I was away this week. And when I first got to this place, I was in a three-story condo. And I'm in the middle level. And I didn't hear anybody up or down. And it was quite peaceful in there, because I always pray before I go somewhere that Father Spirit would be there and cleanse out whatever, okay? The second night, I began to, during the afternoon, I heard some people walking upstairs, but I didn't pay too much attention. But during that second night, I felt like there was supernatural stuff that was in the condo with me and all around and stuff, and I began to feel a little like fright wanted to come on. But I said, because I said, this ain't right, because I know my peaceful state. And if something comes in, that's my guard being up on to say there's attack that's coming on. So I had to rebuke those spirits, but I bound and muted all them spirits that they stay up with them people, because I didn't know who they were. And I didn't want to rebuke them right out, because I didn't want to cast them out, and then they come and bring back, and the people stayed upstairs who I didn't know was even worse than what it was. But then there was a comfort that came, and that my atmosphere and environment was clear, and so that I was able to rest peacefully all the rest of the time that I was there. But guarding my heart and guarding my spirit, Father will let you know when there's something to deal with, just like you said, Thomas, that you felt that the attack coming on and you had to get that off of you. That's how we have to live. And it would be nice if once you did that and you never had to do it anymore in your life, but that ain't the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to constantly be guarded, and we are warring, but we are the victors. Yeah. We have to keep knowing that we are the victors. We just have to do what the word says, and we are the victors.
Amen. My spirit is going to be the dominant spirit in any room. That's just the way it is. Father hasn't given us a spirit of timidity or fear. And when it comes down, and that's not that I'm trying to control anybody else. It's my own self-control to where I'm not letting somebody control me. Because everybody is fighting for control in any situation or any conversation. And you just have to make sure that you stay in your lane and stay in control of you, because you can't you can't control nobody else, but other people are trying to bring you under. See, that's the work, that's the way it happened in the garden, is bringing you under their spirit and usurping the authority that you have by bringing you under its authority. So we're going to pray. You got something else not to do with this, or? Okay. Okay. You think it's going to help her, or is it something totally separate from them? Go ahead.
Shabbat shalom, family.
Shabbat shalom.
Once again, I give Jehovah all the glory, honor, and the praise, and I thank him for being here. It is good to be here.
Amen.
And yeah, I was one of those online Thursday, couldn't see a thing. And I'm like, what is going on here? I missed it, but praise Jehovah. Apostle, have so much online that you can go and still get, you know, get fed. But it's best that we are here. I just wanted to share that I have a niece, and it didn't register to me, but it looks like every 4 or 5 months, she is calling me. And from the first time she started calling me, it's been about, I guess, 2 years now, she's been telling me how she's gone through all kind of anxiety and fear and frustration and panic attacks and all kinds of stuff. And every time I get on the phone with her, I'm thinking it's going to be a quick call, but it's been lasting for hours. So this past Tuesday, which we were in a time of corporate prayer and share, and I didn't realize it, but she called me, and once again, she's talking about the anxiety and the fear, and a lot of it goes back to what she went through with her mother. And I can relate to it so much because I went through that with my mother. So I'm able to share with her because everything she tells me, I can relate to it. Everything she tells me, I can relate to it, except for the fact that she said she was molested as a child. So Jehovah has opened the door. And this time what she told me, and we were on the phone 8 hours. I didn't even realize it was 8 hours. Jehovah had to be in the midst because I usually can't stay on the phone that long. But when I got off and I'm like, oh, we was on the phone long. It was 8 hours. But nevertheless, she told me, she said, but Auntie, I've been reading the word. You all see me over there sometime in Apostles teaching and I'm on my phone. And I told Sharon one time, I said, please tell Apostle when he see me on my phone, I'm not talking, I'm sending his message out. Whoever Father bring to my mind, I'm sending a message out. She's been answering me and said, I'm going to look at it now, Auntie. I'm watching it now, Auntie. So I thank Jehovah that he is dealing with her. But she told me she had been in the Word. She said, every time I go to feel the anxiety and a panic attacks and all of this stuff that's going on in my mind, Auntie, I'm starting to read the word. I said, well, do you understand everything she knows? She said, no, but I'm reading the word. And so I told her, I said, well, if you ever get blocked, write down your questions and call me and I'll do my best to explain it to you. But I won't lie to you or fabricate anything. If I don't understand it, I'll tell you I don't understand it. But then I'll go and research it out and we can go over it together. So the word, there's power in the word. When I came to Jehovah, I was full of anxiety. Well, a little before I even came to Jehovah, when I was in the other world, Christian world, I had all that anxiety and panic attacks and depression and this, that, and the other going on and couldn't sleep at night. One of the first things I did, and I never heard anybody say this, but I stayed in the Word. I would read the Word all day, all day, all day, just read the Word because I wasn't working at that time. Because my youngest son was diagnosed with an incurable disease and on a medical machine, so I was home. But I stayed in the Word. I would just read the Word, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. And then I began to see a lot of stuff was breaking off. Now, it didn't go overnight, of course, because the enemy had that territory for so long, he didn't want to let go. But I just stayed in the Word, and Abba brought deliverance. And even now, sometimes some things happen. But I thank him that I stay in the Word. When I get up in the morning, wash my face, brush my teeth, first thing I do is get into that Word and read the Word. So the Word is powerful. Thank you, sister, for allowing us as your family, you and brother, allowing us as your family, that you all feel safe, that you can share these things with us. And you know, without a doubt, we all are going to be praying for you, because the enemy is a liar. You belong to Jehovah. You are his child. And the enemy has no right attacking you in your mind. But stay in the Word and know that we love you all, and we will be praying for you.
Amen. So we're going to do that right now. Father, we thank you, first of all, for body ministry. We know that we have the capacity by your Spirit to minister to one another, and the words that have been spoken, the wisdom that have been shared. As we pray your protection over Erica, especially during this time in her pregnancy, you know the thoughts that run through her mind. You know what she means when she says that she's been finding herself under this attack by the enemy, who finds ways to attack her mind and then try to steal her peace. As she's been struggling with anxieties, you know what's causing the anxieties. And we just come against every manner of anxiety, and we pray that you'll give her the wisdom, the strength, the ability to begin to recognize the cause based on the effects of the anxieties that she's been experiencing. We know that this whole idea of anxiety is something that is supernatural induced, and yet we have supernatural power over all manner of anxieties, even as you have instructed us to be anxious about nothing, about absolutely nothing, that we are to come to you in prayer and supplication, knowing that anything that comes at us has no right with us unless we give it space. And so I pray that you will help Erica. As I've said, I've noticed she's been doing better, especially in her attendance. You know what's going on in her head. You know the conversations that she's engaged in. You know who she's talking to and the words that is being spoken over her. You know, Father, the challenges that she faces and the concerns that she has concerning her pregnancy and the baby that she's carrying and all that stuff. And we pray that you'll help her to keep her mind in perfect peace. That you, Father, stretch forth your hand and touch her and anoint her. And that you help Daniel, as he is ministering and discerning, so that as a couple, they become one. And as ministers, they recognize how the enemy is coming, the schemes, the wiles that he's using, and they shut him down. Just shut him down. And so in that, we pray your hedge of protection and the peace that surpasses all understanding to guard their soul, their heart, their mind. Now and forever, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Well, with that said, we're gonna conclude our service here today. Right? Okay. Receive your blessing. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Well, blessings to you all, and remember, we can't do what we do without you. Your prayers and your support is greatly needed and appreciated, and we look forward to seeing you again. Enjoy your Sabbath, and until next time, Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3:9-10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3:11-12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.